In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on Lesson 131, The New Sacrifice. We have two sets of pictures. The first one, we see our Lord crucified on Mount Calvary with the thieves on either side of him. We see God the Father up in the heavens above him, and we see the holy women, St. John, beneath the cross, and crowds of people as well. The caption reads, "The death of Christ on the cross was a true sacrifice. He offered himself to his heavenly Father to expiate the sins of the world. As a victim, he suffered first. Then he died crying, 'It is consummated,' thus completing the sacrifice. On Calvary, Christ himself was the high priest and at the same time the victim. The sacrifice reconciled God with man. Since the Jewish sacrifices were only a foreshadowing of our Lord's sacrifice, they ceased when his was offered, as foretold by the prophets." The second image, it's a diptych. We have two images of our Lord after the Last Supper there, the institution of the sacrifice of the Mass. And the caption reads, "Christ instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass at the Last Supper. After praying, he blessed bread and wine and changed them into his body and blood, saying to the apostles, 'Take and eat, this is my body. All of you drink of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is being shed for many unto the forgiveness of sins.'" From St. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 and 28. These words are known as the words of consecration at Mass, by which bread and wine become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The text, what is the Mass? The Mass is the sacrifice of the new law in which Christ, through the ministry of the priest, offers himself to God in an unbloody manner under the appearances of bread and wine. In the early days of the Church, Mass was called the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, the sacrifice, the Eucharist, the Holy Liturgy, the Solemnity of the Lord. The sacrifices of old were far from perfect. Sheep and goats were unworthy offerings to God in acknowledgment of his power and glory. Even in the time of the old law of the Jews, God had expressed his purpose to institute a new sacrifice. In the words of his prophet Malachi, quote, "From the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name is great among the Gentiles, and in every place there is sacrifice, and there is offered to my name a clean oblation." Chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. These words refer to the sacrifice of the Mass, in which the victim is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, than whom there can be no worthier, no cleaner, no more perfect sacrifice. The Church has always taught that the Mass is a true sacrifice. St. Paul implies this when he says, quote, "We have an altar from which they have no right to eat who serve the tabernacle," meaning the Jews, from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. The prophet Malachi foretold the universality of the sacrifice of the Mass. Since there are Catholic priests and churches all over the world, this prophecy is today accomplished literally, for in all places the clean oblation, Holy Mass, is offered. The sacrifice of the Mass is offered to God alone. However, it may be offered to God in honor of the saints and angels, especially on their feast. Who said the first Mass? Our divine Savior said the first Mass at the Last Supper the night before he died. At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ offered himself up as a sacrifice to the Eternal Father under the appearances of bread and wine. Quote, "And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessing it, he broke and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And taking a cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is being shed for many.'" From St. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. The following day, Jesus Christ consummated that sacrifice by freely submitting himself to his passion and death by crucifixion at the hands of the Jews. The two acts of the Last Supper and that of the cross were only two parts of the one supreme sacrifice that our Lord offered to God the Father. After the first act, having offered himself under the appearances of bread and wine, Christ turned to his apostles and said, quote, "Do this in remembrance of me," St. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. By those words, he told them to do as he had done, offer in sacrifice to God his body and blood under the appearances of bread and wine. He commanded them in those words to say Mass as the perfect sacrifice to God. The Mass is a real sacrifice, for in it a victim is offered up for the purpose of reconciling man with God. Our Lord caused his passion and death to enter into the institution of the Mass, thereby joining them as one. At the Last Supper, our Lord eventually meant to institute a visible sacrifice. He chose for the act the very time when the old sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb was celebrated. The very words used by Christ in instituting the sacrifice of the Mass, the New Covenant or New Testament, were almost identical with those used in the institution of the sacrifice of the Old Law. That concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments?
Just wondered, Excellency, it's interesting in that first picture where it shows how our Lord and the two thieves are fastened to the cross. The thieves are fastened in different ways, which I've read different things about, you know, using ropes, and I don't know, it's just interesting that the artist
chose to show them that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
have you seen read different things about, like, the one thing I read was by a physician. He said that the nails couldn't have been through the palms of the hands because the weight of wouldn't support the weight of the body, but that the would have been back more in the wrist, but at the time of our Lord that the wrist was actually considered part of the hand.
I read what I many years ago, I think it was a doctor at Calvary, suggesting that the nails in the hands were not supporting the weight of the body of our Lord. Actually, his weight was being supported at his feet. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the weight of his body was on his feet. There was a board underneath his feet, but it was at a slant. And in order to relieve some of the pain in their feet, those being crucified would pull on their arms, but they were not able to put their full weight into their hands at that time. So as they grew weaker and weaker, they were unable to push up with their feet against the nails, and they would basically suffocate because they could not draw air in. Again, this is, I guess, one man's or a doctor's, physician's interpretation. I don't know of anything that's been dogmatically written or said, but the wounds of Saint Francis of Assisi that were the stigmata that was imprinted in Imitation of Christ, from all I can read, that they were definitely in the palms of his hands.
Okay.
There's nothing else. In the reading here, it says that the Mass and the sacrifice on Calvary are two acts, that of the Last Supper and that of the cross, were only two parts of the one supreme sacrifice. I understand what they're saying, but I think technically I could find fault with this, because the Mass is the unbloody sacrifice of Calvary. They are one in the same. They're not two different parts of the same sacrifice, but they are one in the same sacrifice. And I don't have the dogmas here in front of me, but I think it's very clear that the sacrifice of the Mass is one and the same sacrifice as on Calvary. The only difference being that on the altar, Christ is offered in an unbloody manner. On the cross, it was in a bloody manner. I can understand a logical, or I could give it a positive interpretation, but I know that many people like to find fault. And so I just wanted to point out that they're not two different things, or they're not two parts of one thing, but they are each, it is one and the same, and not two parts of one thing. Otherwise, the Mass would be incomplete by itself. Any other questions, comments? Hopefully we'll see a better description of the Mass in the next lesson when we get there next week. We will end then with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.